Okay, so we're up to hopefully our final class on dating, and there are a few points which I thought we should raise now that we're nearing the end. So assuming you've been dating, you've been going with the formulas we've discussed from the beginning, you find the person where you find your values match, your aspirations match, your perspective on life matches. So here we come to a sensitive point. You have issues you feel you have to raise. A person has diabetes. A person has psoriasis. A person has a medical history. They had a growth that was removed when they were younger. A person should consult with his local Orthodox rabbi. There are issues which you don't have to say. Meaning, if a girl dates a guy and she knows he was chozer b'tshuva later on in life, then the assumption is she understands he's not going to be a virgin. You date a girl and she was chozer b'tshuva later in life. The assumption is you understand she's not going to be a virgin. It's pretty self-understood, unfortunately, in today's world. So some things don't have to be spelled out. Some things it's enough to allude to them. And some things, even when they're said, can be said in passing. Usually it's best if the person himself says the issue. Meaning when guys sometimes tell me their medical issues and then they're dating and then I see they're nearing engagement, so in order to protect the girl, I'll go over to the guy and I'll say, you know, it's her right to know A, B, and C. And the guy will sometimes give me the feeling that he's not about to tell her that. And it's only in his interest to be the one to share the information with her. If I call her up and I say, I know you're dating Jack Vanderhoeft, and I just want you to know, I happen to know that Jack used to be heavy on crack, and he went through serious rehabilitation, but you have to make sure that he's really finished with it. So I know that Jack was, he was an Alcoholics Anonymous and dropped out 3 times. And he didn't pass our drug test here at Machon Meir, and that's it's based on that he left. You know, it's not in his interest that she hears that from me. So I always try to give the guy a chance to present the information himself. And this goes both ways. I've had times where our guys were dating girls that I knew information about the girl, where I felt that it's in her best interest that that the guy hear it from her, and I didn't tell the guy throughout the dating process, but I told him, we're going to talk before you get engaged. And then when he was ready to get engaged, I said, pause, you're not going to engage so fast. And then I gave the girl a phone call, and I said, you know, don't you think you should share with him, A, B, or C? And then usually the people do. Responsible people usually do share it. And the idea is very simple. It's lashon hara for me to say it if it's unnecessary. But on the other hand, you could say it is necessary. You have to protect the guy or the girl. Well, then I have to ensure they know the information. They don't have to know it from me. And most often, a person will be able to present their own issue better than anyone else. Sometimes that's not true. I had a friend who... nervous fellow. He's still a nervous fellow today. And because he's nervous, so he has stomach issues. So he's about to get engaged to this girl. And he tells her, okay, now, before we get engaged, I have to tell you something very serious. Don't freak out, but it's really serious. I mean, this affects me every day of my life. Come, sit down for a minute. Have a drink. So he's setting her up. And he's telling her, and he starts pacing back and forth, and he tells her, look, I have to think how to tell you this. And she's like, no, out with it. What's the issue? And he tells her, look, I have serious, serious stomach issues. So she's like, how serious? And he says, very serious. And... to make a long story short, instead of getting engaged that night, he sent her into panic mode, sent her parents into panic mode, and for the next 2 months, they were running around doctors. She was trying to get a picture of what he's talking about. And then she understood, oh, you have slight indigestion. I understood. It's okay. We could get engaged. They're married. They have a bunch of kids, Baruch Hashem. Okay, but he's very lucky because he freaked her out. He freaked her out, freaked her parents out. Another guy had varicocele. You guys know what varicocele is? Varicocele is when there's a vein down by the gonads that grows bigger. So one in five people have this. So halachically, Rav Ozner holds that a person does have to tell a woman that. There are times where that can cause fertility issues. But you know what? One in five people, that means every five people she dated, chances are one of them had this. So fine, so we have a couple that's dating. Again, they're about to get engaged. And this guy goes and tells her, and he makes a whole big issue. What he didn't know is that her sister married someone who proved infertile. So she panicked. She went crazy. You know, now it's happening again in our family. Her sister got divorced based on that. The guy proved to be in that, just couldn't have kids. So he went and told her this without thinking how he's going to say it and what he's going to say. Didn't bother doing the research. Didn't bother bringing the medical papers. Boom, the shidduch goes, hits the fan. So, okay, again, doctors, experts, Baruch Hashem, they're happily married with a bunch of kids. But not all stories have such a beautiful ending. Meaning there are stories where it doesn't end that way, where the girl freaks out and says, there's a saying in Hebrew that a healthy person doesn't enter a sick bed. So you have to think for a minute and consult and think what needs to be said, how it should be said, do the research in advance. We had a couple last month that broke up on the verge of engagement. She came, she had an issue. She presented it in a way that I think left much to be desired. She didn't do enough research. He had to do the research. I took him, I gave him medical referrals, and he did the research and ended up saying, well, what do I need this headache for? So they were on the verge of getting engaged, but she scared him out of it. So okay, so they're not engaged. Sometimes it's all a question of presentation. Sometimes it's a question of homework. Meaning she didn't come to the date prepared. She didn't come and say, here are the medical issues. I've contended, my relatives have contended with this. This is not a big deal. But this is the situation in our family. We all live happy lives, but yet you should be aware of it. So again, some issues don't have to be mentioned. Some can be mentioned in passing. And even those that have to be spelled out, you have to know what has to be spelled out and how to spell it out. And there's no mitzvah to freak out the other party. You have to do things intelligently. And most often, you won't have the experience to do it. So consult. And think about it. Prepare the information. And hopefully, you'll figure out a way of presenting it that won't scare the other person off. Tattoos. So a lot of guys have tattoos. Do you have to tell the girl about your tattoos? So I think so. I mean, I think the girl won't know about it in advance. The truth is, I feel bad, but I never asked my rabbeim about it. I would like to ask. Maybe I'm wrong, but to the best of my understanding, that's something which might bother a girl. I'll have to double check. But to the best of my understanding, a person should tell about tattoos that they have. So some people have huge tattoos and some people have small tattoos. It depends a little bit who the girl you're dating is. If the girl is from birth, so then most from birth people are not accustomed to tattoos. Anyone who lived in the secular world a little bit knows that tattoos are about as ordinary as having fillings in your teeth. Even though it's a biblical prohibition, but in the non-Jewish world, So people get tattoos right and left. What?
The stigma against
the strong, right? So, chozrot b'tshuva, a girl that's a chozrot b'tshuva will very often not have an issue with it. Sometimes she'll also have an issue with it. So there's room to think about it. We had a student here, Alav HaShalom, he's no longer with us in this world, who had tattoos from this wrist, down to his waist. Everything was covered with tattoos. He had snakes. He had Tibetan incantations. He had prayers. He had everything you could imagine from Avodah Zarah worship to everything you could imagine. His whole body, he invested, I think he told me, $35,000 getting those tattoos over the years. He was very proud of those tattoos until he discovered he was Jewish. He didn't know he was Jewish. Later on in life, he discovered he's Jewish. Okay, so now he starts discovering what Judaism is. And then comes the time that he wants to get married. So we made a deal that around the house, he wouldn't walk around in a t-shirt undershirt, in those sleeveless undershirts. He would only walk around. He accepted, we agreed, that around the house he'll always wear a long sleeve undershirts. His wife, from birth, a good from girl, she wasn't really too comfortable with it. So I said, you know, obviously in the bedroom when it's dark, you can take off your shirt. But around the house, she didn't want the kids to grow up with this norm that tattoos are normal. So that was the compromise we reached, and she was okay with it. They got engaged, they got married. Unfortunately, they never had kids, and he passed away. But at the end of the day, that was a compromise that worked for her. I don't remember if she wanted to see it beforehand. He wanted her to see it beforehand. He was like, I want her to know what it is. Okay, you know, that's his mishigas. I'm not sure that's necessary. I don't think it's necessary. You know, people sometimes feel like, I want you to accept me even though I have this issue. She will. Give her time. I don't think that what's going to happen is the first time she sees that tattoo, she's going to run away and say, I can't. I don't think that's what's going to happen. So I think that that's unnecessary. Guys sometimes say, I want her to see it and make sure she's okay with it. I don't think that's necessary. If she says she's okay, she's okay. What's going to happen? It'll take her another week to get used to it. Fine, we all get used to things. So it'll take time, fine. So I think we've covered many of the basic issues that people have. I would like every person to get tested for HIV and for hepatitis. I think that being that people have a history, be it that people aren't virgins or that people tried different types of drugs, I think it's the responsible thing to do. I've demanded it as much as I can demand. You know, who am I? But I've definitely asked both sides to do it. When it's a chozer b'tshuva and a chozer ret b'tshuva, if you're dating someone who's who's chozeret b'tshuva, so I would definitely recommend that both sides do it. It's always nicer if someone external asks for this. If you guys ask for it, so don't you trust me? So my answer is no, I don't trust any of you. I want the results in my hand. Not that you tell me you went to the doctor and you saw. No, I want the results. I want to have the results. And sometimes it's important to have a rabbi who could be the bad guy. You know, he is my rabbi. You know, he did bring me this far. You give all kinds of excuses and blame me. The girl might never want to talk to me again, but that's okay. She won't be the first. There are many instances where I'm the bad guy, and there are many girls who won't talk to me, and that's okay. What they don't know is that sometimes their husband was behind it and he was telling me, you know, I can't ask, you have to ask. So, okay, fine. And you know what? They get over it. There are many girls who weren't willing to talk to me, and then they end up in our house for Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot and whatever. Say that. Yeah?
Well, if you're a virgin, there's no need for HIV testing, right?
If one is a virgin and one never used hypodermic needles, right? It depends on what one's experience is. I could tell you that if you're a citizen here, if you have Kupat Cholim, so there's a place on Strauss Street where you could get tested for free. I get tested, I try to do once a year as a moel, because I come in contact with blood, so I try to keep myself tested. Okay, so I think with that we've covered a lot. I don't think you should ask the girl if she's a virgin. I don't think that's modest. If it's important to you and you have any reason to believe that she is, so if she's from birth, then you'll assume she is. And if she's a chazal b'tshuva, you'll assume she isn't. And if for whatever reason it's important to you and you don't know, so then you should consult with your rabbi if there's a way to find out, and if maybe the shadchan can be consulted. But you have to be very, very careful. This is a modest topic and you have to be modest about it. So don't go blabbing one way or another. Think it through and consult before you raise the issue, if you're going to raise it at all. I don't believe that couples should talk about their previous experiences. I don't believe you should tell the girl about your previous girlfriend. I don't think anything good can come of it. I don't think you should ask the girl about her previous boyfriends. I don't think anything good could come of that. People are very tempted, but you have to realize that sometimes you're just developing a problem. So a person should remain modest, and certain things don't have to come up. Did you have previous girlfriends? Yeah, okay, fine. It's enough that she knows that. Were you intimate with them? Sometimes yeah, sometimes no. Okay, she understands that you're not a virgin. Fine, I don't think you have to go into greater details. What happens if she insists on it? So push her off. Tell her, you know, let's think if it's really a good idea to discuss this. Why don't you think about some more? I'll think about some more, because I've heard that it really doesn't benefit a relationship. Quite the contrary. She might tell you, you know, if I feel I don't know, then I feel you'll always have secrets from me and I'll never know really what's going on or whatever. Fine, so let's think about it. Push her off. You think about it. She'll think about it. And hopefully you won't find yourself discussing it. I don't believe that too much good can come of it. You're going to end up slipping and saying something you really didn't want to say. Believe me, and even if you got everything right, it only develops a certain jealousy and a discomfort. I don't believe something good can come of it, but, you know, you have to gauge every situation the way it is. Yichud, negiyah, and gifts. Gifts, if the relationship is getting very serious, I don't think that that you should be getting gifts yet. I think gifts are for after engagement. Even flowers, I don't think that's the time yet. I think that to buy her lunch, to buy her supper, to take her out to a nice place on a date is one thing. To buy her a scarf or something like that, I think is inappropriate. I think that a scarf or anything else like that, I think should wait till after you're engaged. Even flowers, I would wait with till after you're engaged. Flowers or chocolates or all that. You want to buy something on the date, it's one thing. You want to buy something to give her, I recommend waiting till you're engaged. Yichud and negiyah. So the closer the relationship is, the more you're attracted to one another, the more you have to be careful about yichud and negiyah. You're not allowed to be alone with her. You're not allowed to touch her. Even after you guys get engaged, nothing changes. The only thing that changes is that now you'll be even more attracted and it'll be even harder to maintain those halachot. And so that's why a person has to be extra careful. Stay in public places. Don't go on dates that end up in her apartment at 2 o'clock in the morning and you start saying, well, the door's unlocked and someone could come, and you know it's a load of baloney. You know no one's coming. So, no, don't go there. Meaning, Chazal were very careful and they told us to be careful and to avoid problematic scenarios. So avoiding problematic scenarios is about staying in public places. Don't sit on a bus and start bumping into one another. You start playing games. You start playing games with negiyah. You should know that you're going to have a hard time afterwards saying, oh, well, I want us to have a house that adheres to halacha and we keep the laws of family purity the way we should. You know, once you've opened the dam, once you've legitimized doing things that are wrong, you're going to have a very hard time limiting that. Where do you draw the line? So, you know, you bumped into her on the bus, so she touched your hand as she passed you something. And then, I don't want to continue, but you understand, I've seen many guys finding themselves in this troubled situation where suddenly she went way too far, way beyond where he wanted to be, and he had a hard time telling her no, because she kept saying, well, what do you mean? You know you did that. You know that on the bus our knees were touching. You know A or B or C. And I'll tell you, I've seen this go from the dating through the marriage, where the guy comes to me and says, how do I get her to keep the laws of family purity? And these are things I've seen with my own eyes. It's not stories. It's just it's the natural course that things went. So obviously at any point a person can do tshuva, and at any point a person can say ad kan, but the intelligent person doesn't get himself into the problems. So a person has to realize that as the relationship gets more and more serious, it's natural. If you don't feel more attraction to her, don't marry her. What should be is that you definitely do feel more attraction, and the laws of Yichud and Negiyah become more difficult, and that's what should be. and then a person has to be more careful. And Uri, if we have time, I'll get to you. I do want to finish today. Otherwise, we'll discuss it Thursday night, I hope. The laws of Yichud, you guys know, don't go on hikes far out. Don't go to places where there's no one else around. Don't leave yourself in a dark place all alone, or all alone, even if there's full of light. And Nagia, you know, you're not supposed to touch a person of the opposite gender in any way that might be a part of positive feelings towards the other person. We know how sensitized we are when we have stronger feelings for the other person. So that's why a person has to realize that sitting on a bus, even though ordinarily you could say I sit next to a woman on a bus and it means nothing to me, and I can respect that, but it better mean something to you when it's a girl that you want to get engaged to. Things that a person should be careful about as the relationship evolves, and even more so after we get engaged. There's no leniency for anything. Until we're married, we're nothing. Engagement means we've agreed that we will get married. That's all it means. Nothing becomes permitted at this point. I want to go back to the last point, which is how do you decide if it's the right person? So we've already discussed you have to find someone you're comfortable with. We've discussed it should be like slippers. There has to be mutual respect. That we're not making fun of one another, we're not making jokes at one another's expense, no serious red flags. Remember, no one's perfect, and the fact that you see her imperfections is not an issue. The question is, there shouldn't be things that are red flags for me. Many people will never get married, and that is because they're always thinking, maybe there's someone better out there, she's not perfect, I see her human flaws. And those people will not get married. And it's that simple. There are many people who will not get married. They're always looking for the better other. And even though they meet someone who is really, really good for them, but they can't marry them because they're waiting for the better other. And as good as this is, they say, yeah, but you know, sometimes we're on a date and I see another girl and she looks nicer. I see another girl and her smile is more attractive. And if that's the way I'm going to look at her, then I'm never going to marry anyone. There are so many girls out there. So we have to realize that's a weakness that many, many men have. When a person meets the right person, so then there's the Pygmalion effect. You meet the right person, and in our own minds, we've developed who we think is going to be the right person. And then when we meet the right person, it doesn't match that statue which we've developed in our own minds. We always imagine that the right person would have A, B, C, and D qualities. And when we meet someone who really works well with, we reach a point where we have to smash that statue. Some people are willing to smash that statue. Really, it's a contradiction between what I see before my eyes and what I always imagined. I always imagined that Mrs. Wright would have such and such qualities. And here I'm meeting someone who seems to be Mrs. Wright, and she doesn't have those qualities. She has different qualities. This isn't what I thought I was looking for, but it works, and it fits, and it makes sense. But it's not what I was thinking I would end up with. So then we end up with a contradiction. And we have a choice. Are we going to retain that statue we've created in our minds? Or are we going to bash the statue and say, wait, what I have in front of me is perfect. It's great. It's not exactly what I imagined. It's different than what I thought I would end up marrying. So what? And a person has to cross that threshold. It's very hard. It's very, very hard. When you meet the right person, believe me, I've seen many people at this juncture. You stand there and you start kicking yourself. How could this be right? I always thought that my wife would be summa cum laude, whatever, at Harvard, and she's not. Okay, whatever. Doesn't matter. If she's right, she's right. How do you know if she's right? So some people expect fireworks, and some people have fireworks. And for some people, it's just this feeling, this is right. I don't want the date to end. I want to continue with this person. And the way to continue is to get married. You've met Mrs. Wright. You delete your old girlfriends from your Facebook. If you haven't done it yet, you do it then. You meet Mr. Wright. You delete your old boyfriends from Facebook. They do not belong at your engagement party. They do not belong in your home after you're married. Part of being faithful to your spouse is that you don't have girlfriends. you have female co-workers and neighbors and other things, so you'll draw the limits there. After you get engaged, the first thing that happens is you regret it. Might not be the first thing, might be the second thing or the third thing. Get used to it. This is part of what happens in the human psyche from engagement onward. The person keeps asking himself, was she the right one? Maybe I should have really waited a little longer. Maybe she isn't the right one. Mind over matter. Person has to decide this is right and think about how it's going to work. And so that's something that leads us into our first class on marriage, mind over matter, enemy number one of marriage, and that is throughout marriage a person is going to have this feeling, was this the right one? Unless he decides, I'm not going to think that way. And that's a person's own decision. When you get engaged, what you're agreeing to is we will get married. If you're going to give her an engagement ring, you don't necessarily have to do it at the engagement. How do you know what size finger she has? You can get it later. Before you actually get engaged, go consult with someone. What are the social norms at engagement? In certain crowds, you give her a sitter, you give her a tehillim, you have her name in gold letters on it, you send flowers to her home, you come with flowers. There are different social norms depending what society you're in. You don't want to mess up. So show up to the engagement after some thought. Don't just pop the question. She has certain expectations. You get engaged once, hopefully, in life. So you want to get it right. You want her to have memories. Bring a camera. In my day and age, there wasn't a camera. The Rabon Shalom sent us a little guy with a parrot and a Polaroid. And you paid him. We were on a beach. It was the middle of winter. So you could go to beaches then. And this guy was walking around. And he'd offer you to hold his parrot, this beautiful parrot, and he'd take a Polaroid picture. So we got two or three nice pictures from that hour when we got engaged. Oh no, actually I did bring a camera. I wasn't such a dope. Okay, I did. Yeah, I brought a camera to our engagement. But bring a camera. You know, it's a momentous occasion. Hopefully you have a camera with a timer or you're at a place where you could ask other people to take a picture. And from engagement onward, you should also find out there are many social norms depending on the community you're marrying into. You need to know them. And a girl that has a china expects your mother to get her who knows what for her china. China, yeah, it's a Sephardi celebration prior to the marriage. You have to learn, you have to know. And you have to speak to people who know. So don't just think, you know, we're easygoing people and we're going to do things our way. Even if she tells you, yeah, I'm easygoing and I don't need any of that. Shtuyot. Her parents need it. All her friends are going to ask her what's going on with it. And even she, at the end of the day, she grew up in a certain society. You have to know how to give her what she's expecting and what she's used to. So make sure you consult and find out what are the norms in that society. And Be'ezrat Hashem, don't forget to send me an email or something that you're engaged.